This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking to Kathy Lord, SVP at Sage People, and Paul Burren, VP Product and Marketing at Sage People. Hello, Kathy. Hello, Paul.
Hi there, Steve.
Hello.
Paul, first, you recently announced Winter 20 for Sage People. It's the first release you've actually not given a nice, more human-sounding name. So why the change in format?
We've used different names. The tradition was always to use the name of a ship because based on our heritage, and that was something that had grown up. But we got to a point where we'd got to so many of these that it was actually really hard to know, if you take Triton, what point in time is that? And so that as we started referring just to these names, people couldn't necessarily easily relate to a timeline. Just from a management point of view, just became increasingly difficult. Hence, we thought, well, let's just adopt something which is just a little bit more straightforward. So perhaps not as whimsical, but perhaps just a little bit more pragmatic.
Was there a secret name for Winter 20?
There's always secret names, but we just thought, well, no, we're going to try and put an end to it and just come up with dates that, unfortunately, are a little bit more boring, but people can understand and relate to.
And you kind of had two major announcements as part of Winter 20. The first one was Conversations, which inferred almost delivering continuous performance management was what I thought about it. Can you tell me more about what that does?
This is part of a much broader strategy. If you actually think businesses are changing the way they actually manage HR and people, and as a consequence of that, with a focus less on transactional HR and more on looking at employees and how you get them to thrive and therefore get the best out of them, inevitably processes are changing. And if you look at almost any HR process, pretty much every single one of them is going through pretty substantial change. Performance management, talent development are also going through significant change. The notion of just having an annual performance review, while some companies still want to do that, many have recognized that with the changing nature of work, the changing workforce, and just the need to run businesses differently, it makes much more sense to having continuous conversations in a more agile, flexible environment than just going to, here's a set of goals and we'll come back in a year's time and manage that at that point. Continuous conversations is really part and parcel of an overall strategy where we're looking to see how we can help businesses adapt how they manage performance, whether it's performance management, performance development, and continuous conversations is just part of that continuum. Other things would be things like social shout-outs or peer recognition and so on and so forth.
So are you leveraging chat to do that, or have you built something else within the platform?
We haven't used chat yet, something that we've thought about, but it's something that we've actually built into the solution itself. The opportunities going forwards, though, will be to build it out so you move from continuous performance to sustainable performance, because then you can start thinking about things like well-being and how you actually manage people much more holistically, not just in terms of what they do at work, but how they manage their whole work-life balance, if you will, so that you're really managing them in a way you're optimizing performance over time.
And the second announcement was around telemetry. And can you just explain more around that? Because there wasn't much within the release suits on it.
What we're really trying to do is to really understand how our customers are using the product, which are the processes they're spending most of their time in, which ones less so. And that's for two reasons. One is so that we can really understand currently how they're using it and where we need to make sure that we're adding the most value, but also recognizing that customers are on a journey. They're transitioning from this old world to this new world, something we call becoming a people company, becoming more employee-centric. And as we do that, we want to understand how we can actually help them through customer success management to take advantage of some of the capabilities in the product which maybe they're not taking advantage of to enable them make that journey and get to the point where they can really optimize both use of the product and the success they're having in the business.
I assume you're leveraging the Salesforce telemetry, but it sounds like you're surfacing those insights for your use to then surface back to customers rather than customers surfacing the insights for themselves.
Correct. At this point, it's very much an internal focus, but with time, there's no reason why that can't potentially be shared.
Kathy, you announced on stage the integration between Sage Intacct and Sage People. While it naturally focused on the benefits of the Office of Finance because the audience was mainly finance-orientated, what about the HR team? What are the benefits they're looking to gain from the integration?
One of the challenges for the HR team is that they are constantly being asked to pull reports for finance. What is our total headcount? What is our headcount slice by, you name the dimension of the employee base, in order for finance to do the calculations, the budgeting, the forecasting that they need? This will save a significant amount of time for the HR team by not having to answer those report requests. They simply know that the data is being pushed into Sage Intacct and finance can self-service all of the information that they need in order to make that happen. HR leadership can also become a consumer of those reports in Sage Intacct that start to combine the HR employee data as well as the financial data to start to make better decisions about what they want to do to improve employee experiences, to improve their ability to attract and retain employees. That information, although sitting in the financial system, is equally applicable to HR leadership in making better decisions for growing and continuing to scale the business.
Are they able to use some of the finance information to do better remuneration planning as well?
Absolutely. They would be then a user in Sage Intacct as well, consuming that information, looking at those reports, looking at that data, to then better go back in to determine how do we need to plan merit increases, how do we need to plan what compensation levels we need to pay out in order to retain those, and how do they fit into the budget, how does that impact our revenues, our profitability if we make some of those changes, so they can start to work really in collaboration with finance to get to better answers as opposed to working in silos like many organizations do today. And then you get those surprises at the end.
One of the third legs of that triangle was the budgeting and forecasting piece, which Sage Intacct announced last year after they acquired Bacetta. Are you looking to integrate Sage People into that solution as well for the forecasting for HR?
What we're seeing today in terms of use cases is that the Sage Intacct General Ledger will be that hub. So as opposed to integrating into the Sage Intacct budgeting planning directly, we're going to be pushing the data into that intelligent GL in Sage Intacct, and then you can determine which of those data components you want to pull into your budget or your forecast, et cetera. There was a lot of concerns from prospects and customers around, I don't want any of that data going directly into my budgeting forecasting. I want to elect what I'm going to pull into that, when and how I'm going to do that.
You've been at Sage Intacct for quite a long time, I think 12 years or so. You said it's your 12th advantage on stage. You've obviously been promoted into the role of SPP of Sage People. What I've noticed in the audience over the last few years I've been attending events is actually it's becoming more diverse, which is quite good. You've been in technology for quite a long time. How did you start, though? Because there aren't that many women in the technology side, but there are in the finance side, it seems.
One of the things that I'm super excited is that Sage Intacct has a woman VP of engineering, Sage People has a woman VP of engineering, and then you start to say, okay, well, we happen to be fortunate to find two amazing leaders, regardless women or not. How do you start to find more of those? And it all starts with grassroots efforts of how do we continue to grow and enable young engineering talent and help them on that leadership path, and able to give them the confidence, the support, the networking they need to grow their skill sets. Because really, anybody can become a great leader. They just need to be given the support, the training, and help them get the confidence to grow and do so. And it's inherent upon every single one of us to help lift up another person, and whether that's woman or male or whatever, in order to help grow that next future leader pool and making sure that it's diverse. It's only going to happen by everybody contributing to it.
Is the problem more fundamental, though? Because I agree coaching people within organization is the right way forward to bring talent up, regardless of the male or female. Is there a more fundamental problem, a social issue, actually, of getting people into those organizations in the first place, though?
There is. It's interesting. I had a hallway conversation earlier this week at the conference. It was with another female leader. And we were talking about the differences, and it is available in terms of resourcing, networking, just knowing about what's available out there for men versus women. And so if you think about it, if as a woman you elect to have children and you have those, say, in your 30s to 40s, and you're in a dual working household, so you're both looking to grow your career, who ends up usually staying home to take care of the kids while the other one goes out to network, to meet with peers, to have a drink, to sit with the networking group, whatever it may be? In most cases, it's the woman. She stays home. So she misses out on those opportunities just from a fundamental perspective of networking. What are the groups? What are the ways into this? How do I scale up my career? What do I do? And I was surprised when I pinged several other folks shortly after that. They had the same experience, and I did too. I stayed home instead of going out to networking events and growing my career in those ways outside of the business day to take care of kids.
Do you think technology is helping in the sense that it can provide different methods of networking nowadays? Because it's an interesting concept that actually we've always networked in the same way. Organizations always built networks in the same way. Is technology helping to change that dynamic and bringing maybe more female-friendly networking methodologies in?
It absolutely has the ability to, and this is like you were listening to my conversation, because we exactly talked about that. There's so much technology available that you could be home making dinner or watching the kids, they're doing homework, and be on a webcast and hearing and talking and engaging without having to be out somewhere at a specific location. But what I'm not seeing is the momentum building around creating the opportunities to do that. And so I think there needs to be a real grassroots effort around how do you start to make these non-traditional networking mediums the norm, where we don't all have to be sitting around a table. Let's jump on a Zoom meeting or WebEx or Google Hangout, and let's just start to share a network as if we were there together. Getting people comfortable with that and getting that started could be a real difference maker.
Do you think you'll bring that into Sage People?
I will say that we have great diversity at Sage People today. We're looking to figure out, and this is always the challenge, right? As we continue to scale up, how do we retain that and how do we keep that? Finding ways for employees to continue to grow their career and to make it easy for them, regardless of whether it's male versus female, it's a baby boomer versus a millennial versus a Gen X versus Gen Z. We need to find ways in which all of our colleagues can find a way to continue to grow and be successful and develop their holistic set of skills, whether it's financial, whether it's how to do their job better, whether it's how to live longer and healthier. It's this holistic view of the employee journey and helping them grow as humans is what will make employees loyal to you as an employer.
Do you see you embedding that technology into Sage People, the product? Because you've got conversations, and the natural step on from conversations is surely that networking element.
There's absolutely, within an organization, the ability to network and to start to develop skills, to grow, to train, to share those types of best practices. I'm not positive that taking that outside of an organization makes sense to do within the product, primarily from the standpoint that so much of the insight and information contained within Sage People is sensitive information. You start to say, okay, is this the right platform to start to create that network effect? And that probably not, in my opinion, but I think we can be champions for change in terms of promoting that. It's a great partnership opportunity if we find an organization that does that to partner with from a Sage People perspective, where you could launch a, lack of a better term, Google Hangout, a Zoom, or product XYZ in order to start to facilitate that networking event.
What maybe does Sage Intacct or Sage People do to actually get more people into those starting roles in companies? Because it's not just about having people and growing people in the organization, but how do we get more women interested in technology at an earlier age?
It stems back to what at the base of it is a social issue of how do you create environments and cultures where women feel comfortable that they're going to be valued and they feel they can grow. There is a stigma with a lot of tech companies, and especially in the Silicon Valley where I'm located, where it's a good old boys network. And so women are not feeling like the doors are as open to them there as they may be in other industries. And so it's a bit intimidating. Where I think organizations have done a really good job who have been able to attract women into them is where they create a culture of inclusion. And it's not just about whether you're a woman, it could be of race, it could be age, etc., where everybody feels welcome and inclusive, and they make it an environment where they value diversity and what all those different experiences and people can bring to get to better answers, to get to better answers faster. We have to start driving that as the cultural norm for these companies as we're starting them, whether it's two folks in a garage or you're at 20 employees, 100 employees. That has to start from day one, because if it's not a good culture from the beginning, you're going to be building the wrong type of organization from the beginning.
And going back to Sage People, what are your ambitions for 2020?
One of the things that we're really looking to do in 2020, and this is where the alignment with Sage Intacct is going to be a huge accelerator, is to really gain critical mass in the U.S. The U.S. for us is the largest target market in the globe when you look at all the other countries. Our ability to be successful in the U.S. will drive the long-term success for the company. Being able to tap into the ecosystem both from a infrastructure distribution perspective with Sage Intacct, We're really excited about making that work, and the reception we're getting from customers and partners alike has been just overwhelmingly positive.
And in terms of parallels, how does Sage People go out to market? Sage Intacct attacks the CFO market in a sense. How does Sage People, where do you look to gain the traction from the customers?
Traditionally, we've been gaining traction with the VP of HR, the CHRO. What we find, and this is where the alignment with Sage Intacct is really exciting, is that in the mid-market organizations that we serve, those functions tend to roll up to the CFO. Now we have a dual value proposition in which to go into the CFO, or if they're an existing Intacct customer, we can go into them, and now all of a sudden we can talk to them about how are you managing your business beyond financials, how are you managing the most valuable asset in your company. And as we start to go out to net new prospects, we have a dual way in which we can get in and get not only the CFO's attention, but as we talk about those questions, we can start to answer with the data from the combined solutions, all of the C-suite's attention. Talent is the most critical thing in scaling a business these days.
What will success look like in 2020?
Success will be that we've fully engaged and motivated and found success getting distribution through the Sage Intacct ecosystem.
Kathy, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Paul, thank you.
Thank you.